The Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" John confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. One verse from that gospel lesson. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. The word there, witness, and testify, are actually the same word, just one's a verb and a noun, and so when they get translated, they sound different. But in Greek, it's the same. And in fact, that word for witness, either the noun or verb, shows up 6 times in John chapter 1 alone. Last week, we heard from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, where we met John the Baptist. Today, here in the opening of the Gospel of John, we meet the same person, but something is a little different. He doesn't really do all that much baptizing. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. He's known and discussed as one who does baptizing generally, but we don't actually see him doing any baptisms in the Gospel of John. What we see is him bearing witness. He came as a witness to testify to the light. And bearing witness is a completely different thing. Bearing witness is not proclaiming the truths of the universe beyond which we did not know before. Instead, bearing witness is sharing your own personal testimony, your own experience. It's John telling his story. This is a completely different emphasis to John than we usually have. In the Gospel of John, we frankly don't really have John the Baptist. We have John the Witness. And among the other things that can tell us, it says something to us and what it means for us to be telling our own story, ourselves as witnesses. And as I thought of this week and the power of what it is to tell our story, I couldn't help but think of my own life. One thing that happens to you if you feel called and act upon that calling toward ordination in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is that in the process of getting there, you have to tell the story of your call to ministry many, many, many times in many different venues. And I did it all in a 1-year condensed thing, so all those meetings happened right next to each other. The first time I had to do that, I did really have to think about it and do some real delving into my own personal experience of what my story to my call of ministry really was. And it took some real time. But because I had to recount it so frequently, I eventually got really good at telling that story. And every time I told it, you know, the story changes a little bit. And I don't think I was making things up. I think that as I continued to tell it, you start noticing details that you didn't notice the first time you told it. Things that really did happen, but now you start seeing more significance. And of course, when you tell a story like that, and you tell it again and again, you read the audience you're with, and there are very different versions of that same story. For example, when I was in my clinical pastoral education training, which included what was basically group therapy, they want to hear that same story, but really emphasizing the deep traumas of your life. The more of that, the better for that group. I could do that, so I did. Or, when you tell the story to someone who's a character in the story, like a family member or something like that, you might really emphasize their role, or maybe not talk about them at all this time. Might not help them in that space right now to bring them up. And sometimes you need that story to be 2 minutes long, and sometimes it needs to be 10 minutes long. You don't know. Always it's different, and yet the same story. We all do that when we tell stories, because we recognize what stories really are. They're narratives of our experience, but they're meant to depict meaning and identity of who we are as people. And I say that all just to emphasize what it means to bear witness. We all have a lot of experience in our lives, but when we bear witness to what's happened to us, when we tell a story, it is those experiences, but we frame it in different ways, in different contexts, because we're conveying meaning. And we recognize the stories we tell are really about who we are as people. I share all of that because of this focus today. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. John the Baptist, is a very human figure in the Gospel of John. He's asked whether he's Messiah, Elijah, or even a prophet, and he says no, because his story really isn't about him. His story, his witness, is about the light. But I hope you noticed something in that little verse. It says he's a witness to the light. But this passage, that first part of the reading today, is stuck right in the prologue to the Gospel of John, which began, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people." Many of you probably have that passage more or less memorized. But then here we have saying of John, he came as a witness to testify to the light. But what's the light in that passage before? You would think that the real witness, if you're trying to say who this Jesus is, would have not been the light, but the root cause of that light. The Word that was with God, and the Word was God. But that's not what John says. It says of John, he came as a witness to testify to the light. There might be a few reasons that the text explains that he bore witness to the light rather than to the Word, but I'd like to suggest a possibility. Because perhaps what John experienced was not the Word directly. John experienced the light. The character of the eternal Word of God as the Alpha and Omega is frankly pretty hard to understand. It's based upon the Trinitarian conception of God. It's of all that God is. And we, who have the Old Testament and New Testament, John clearly didn't have the New Testament. It's unclear if he had the Old Testament. And we have now 2,000 years further of contemplation and thinking, and any honest theologian will tell you we barely understand what the character of the Trinitarian God is. It's not really for humans to fully understand, much less be able to express clearly to others. John came as a witness to testify to the light. He could witness the light. The light is the effect of the word that the word had on the world. Rather than it being who God is, it's what God has done. I don't know how much John could have bore witness in his own personal experience to the character of who God is in the space of the cosmos, but he sure could bear witness to the new experience of new life in Christ. John bears witness to the world bringing something different than we expected. And what we have in the second half of this verse might help us understand even more. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. John simply tells his story, his own experience. And that experience is going to do something so that all might believe. And that might be an odd thing, at least on the face of it. How does simply bearing witness to my experience, telling my own story, cause other people to believe? Isn't it about you, not others? But I believe that's the power of what a story can do. It's different than most forms of communication. The scholar Marshall Gans says the following with respect to what stories do. And this is a quote. Stories not only teach us how to act, they inspire us to act. Stories communicate our values through the language of the heart, our emotions. And it's what we feel, our hopes, our cares, our obligations, not simply what we know, that inspire us with the courage to act. End quote. Bearing witness to the light is not presenting something that only happened to myself and nobody else. Instead, the witness we bear about our own lives, telling our own story, is very frequently how we connect with other people. While our stories hold us as individuals as the main character, they're not things that exist only for ourselves. They are interesting to other people because we live in community. And so when I tell my story, it is a part of all of our stories. John the Witness tells his story that we might believe. And the real witness, the real story, I would suggest is even for him, not even really with words. Right before that reading, where it says that John bore witness to the light, the Gospel of John says of Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light John witnessed can be defined. It is life. We bear witness to that life the same way John did, through our life. Sometimes the witness does indeed involve saying things out loud, explaining it, as John clearly did. Other times it's far simpler. How we live our own lives. We live by example, the life that is within us. That life can be an example because of Christ within us. That's the light to which we bear witness every day. Amen.